So how do you encourage conversation among a diverse number of people from various backgrounds? Joanne Arnett has been doing that for nearly 30 years over there at Tallahassee Christian College and Training Center. She'll be with me in the first hour. Ramon Alexander, newly elected House District 8 representative, well, he's trying to do the same thing with his colleagues, having conversation about very tough issues. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done. Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Once again, my friend, as we gather around the radio or your cell phone or whatever you're doing to find out what's going on this week in Tallahassee, I have to tell you that it's remarkable how much I learn from these folks who come to us with remarkable background and passion. If you can say anything, you can tell that these people are plugged in. I mean, if you don't know Joanne Arnett, you're going to find out this is a woman who just, I don't know, she lowers her head a bit, squares her shoulders, and she keeps pushing on. She's been doing it since 1990. She was one of the co-founders of this Tallahassee Christian College and Training Center. It's gone through a lot of growth, changes, expansion. The curriculum itself is formidable, and the people who are teaching there and those who are being trained and educated there are in and of themselves formidable. They are contributive. They come from all walks of life. That's kind of the theme for today, I think, diversity. And Joanne's going to talk about diversity among their rank. How they make that diversity work to their advantage, because they benefit from the collective strength that comes when you have a diversity of opinion or background, when you have experiences that bring the best that can be offered in trying to solve problems or enlighten folks. And that's their business. They are in the business of enlightening, educating, training. Going to find out a lot about Tallahassee Christian College. Started back in 1990. What a great little organization that is. And Joanne Arnett, oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, I don't want to gush too much there, but she rocks. She does. She won't admit that, but she does. She's a rocker. She's just amazing. Not to be too gushy here, but right in there with that same rocking ability is Ramon Alexander. You don't know this guy? Stand by, because you're going to get a firsthand look at somebody who comes to the business of political leadership, we'll call it, representation. Here he is, House District 8 representative for Florida, newly elected. Took Alan Williams' position, or the position Alan Williams had occupied. And Alan had done a formidable job in his own right. I like that word, I guess, formidable, using that a lot today. It's my word of the day. But here comes Ramon Alexander, and has this tremendous background. Many of you know Cherry Alexander for her contributions. The people at TCC do. Yeah, they unveiled the Cherry Hall Alexander, Roan's mom, African American History Calendar. This was back on the 30th. And this year's calendar, in keeping with the activities of Black History Month here in February, recognized the contributions of those who have championed education. That's the theme for this year's Cherry Hall Alexander African American History Calendar. And among those honorees, you have LaMonica Butler, who's a teacher mentor to science, technology, engineering, and math students, and a school advisory council committee president. Wilbert Butler, with TCC STEM. Sonia Clark Rozier, who is an associate dean at Wakulla High. Desmond Cole at NIMS Middle School. Bishop Titus B. Diaz, who is senior pastor at Deliverance Temple. On and on this list goes. These are people who are being recognized for the significance of their contribution. And here we have Roan Alexander, who in his own right brings to the table a remarkable history of contribution, all the way back to his days at FAMU High School, where he was student body president. And you fast forward through several opportunities in which he's assisted others, including Representative Curtis Richardson, Andrew Gillum, the mayor. He was a senior campaign aide to State Senator Darrell Jones, the first African-American to run for lieutenant governor in Florida since Reconstruction. That's pretty cool. So he's gone out from all of those beginnings and then formed this organization, Distinguished Young Gentlemen of America. He's going to talk about his work there and what he's doing now as a newly elected representative to the People's House, District 8. Remarkable. We've got Tim Lenefelt standing by for an update on FSU men's basketball. They've been doing rather well for themselves of late. Highly ranked. I think they're somewhere around 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there. And if you've not seen them play lately, had a chance to go one of the games. Which was it? They played Clemson. Oh, my goodness. Their offense is just stupid. Stupid good. I mean, electric. It is fun to watch. It's just very, very disciplined. They've had a few ups and downs going through the season thus far, but I will tell you, if you haven't seen them play, they played again Wednesday night, NC State. It was on television. So, Tim Lenefelt, the Lenefelt Sports Report. He'll bring us up to date on FSU men's basketball. That's cool. And I've got, as is our custom, the very lovely Miriam Dady standing by with a guest in the business spotlight. So we're going to learn about that individual and what they are doing to contribute locally to the business community. Should bring to your attention some other news, too, from Barbara Goldstein over there at HERC, the Holocaust Education Resources Council. They've got a lot of cool stuff coming up here. What did I see? This list of activities in the month of March going on. Well, here's one. March 25th at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall. Ruby Diamond is the venue. Yeah, Requiem of Defiance, a homage to artistic resistance at Terezin Concentration Camp. It's presented by TSO, Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra, the Holocaust Education Resource Council, Temple Israel, and Florida A&M University Concert Choir. That's coming up March the 25th at Ruby Diamond. Lots of other activities there in the month of March, especially Holocaust Education Week is March 19th through the 27th. So I'll keep you posted on some of that. You can go to their website, certainly, You'll find them at holocaustresources.org. Holocaustresources.org. Barbara Goldstein doing a great job over there. Way to go, Barbara. Stay with me, folks. We've got more. I've got Miriam Dady standing by right after this break. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I've got a message for the women in the audience. Valentine's Day is almost here, and you're still looking at the top 10 ways to put romance in your relationship? Come on, put down the magazine and listen to me. You really want to know what he wants. A diamond plate toolbox. Yeah. Or a spray-in bedliner with a lifetime warranty. You talk about hot. How about a high-tech, full-scale, truck-busting audio system? And it's all in one easy place. Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. They have all the toys you're going to need. Grill guards and brush guards, window tinting, plus keyless entry systems and security systems. Whew, okay, I got to stop. But trust me, Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive will make it happen. If you can't make up your mind, all you got to do is slip that little gift certificate into the palm of his hand. You can thank me later. Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive, across from Kraft Nissan. You're going to love it.
Call 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for today's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by Tallahassee Community College Workforce Development.
Good morning. This is Tallahassee Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady. I promised you that I would have Jennifer Duncan back in the hot seat with StretchingYourLife.com, and she's here with me. Thank you for coming back,
Thank Jennifer. You for having me again.
I wanted to get to some topics that we didn't get to talk about last time you were here, and one of them is the fact that you do all these things with athletes. You do kinetic work, and you do mobility work with elderly. We didn't talk about massage at all and how that fits in.
Yeah, of course. Even though we are primarily massage therapists, the stretching work we do can kind of fit under the umbrella of massage therapy. But not to be overlooked, massage therapy can be very, very beneficial and a fabulous complement to the stretching that we do. Prime example, if you have somebody who has dealt with a lot of pain for most of their lives, whether it from a car accident, trauma of any kind, you name it, some people can be very guarded. And so working very slowly and gently through some of the stretches and then coupling it and following up immediately with some massage work can be very beneficial and exponentially help them through the process of healing and building that trust with the therapist, because that's huge for the healing process. If you don't trust somebody that's working with you and touching you, then obviously you're going to just become more guarded and your body's not going to respond. So,
what I really like about the whole idea of what you have going is, if people were to go to a massage therapist, they've always got this chronic, they're always holding, this something in their shoulders, mm-hmm. and they go and they get relief and then they go back and they get relief. It's never really addressed, but mm-hmm. with you guys and your ability to observe their stature, the way they hold themselves, mm-hmm. their posture when they sit or walk or bend over, mm-hmm. and all the stretching, you can really take them through to a different place, can't
definitely.
You?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And because of the type of work we do, so active isolated stretching, as the name suggests, is it's an active stretch. So you're getting the neurological system involved with the muscular system, which is huge when you're trying to repattern. So our bodies compensate for us without even our knowledge, of it happening. And so sometimes getting that neurological system involved, it wakes up the body to say, hey, wait, this body part, this muscle is still working. These nerves can still fire and effectively work with this tissue. So you get more of a speedy outcome working with the neurological system as well as the muscular system in doing that, because muscles can't really move without the neurological system telling them to move. So with your passive stretching, it's great. It's wonderful. I don't have anything against it per se, but when you have people with injuries, it's not usually the most effective approach mm-hmm. To healing and to helping. Not to say that it can't be, but it's just a different realm so to speak.
Right. Tell me about your background. What do you bring to the table that makes all these things work?
Oh, wow. I am from all kinds of walks of life, but I actually graduated from Florida State, go Noles, with my bachelor's of social work. I always knew I wanted to help people. I just didn't know what capacity. I've always been intrigued by the medical field. I've always loved it. So I did social work for about 4.5 years working with juvenile court system. Decided that wasn't the path that I wanted to continue on. I didn't get enough to spend time with the clients that I wanted. I was always outsourcing to other resources, which is great and fine and dandy, but coming from somebody like me, I wanted to be with my clients from start to finish.
Yeah. You don't get to see
the end product, the end.
I understand.
And so I tried to go back to school for nursing, realized that wasn't my calling per se, so I decided to do personal training. I always loved the gym. I've always been asked to be a personal trainer, so I was like, well, hey, let's try to see if I can make that a career. Loved it. Again, didn't feel fulfilled enough. You know, I had clients that would come in that had previous injuries that wanted help, you know, developing a workout plan around those. And I wanted to be able to help them through that injury. I didn't want it to hold them back. And so again, I was at a crossroad of, well, again, this isn't what I want to do. What can I do? So I tossed around the idea of physical therapy. But again, I felt limitations were going to be there with insurance and how many sessions people could have and how effective I could be in certain amounts. Plus, I was ready to get into a career. I was getting to be close to 30 and wanting to do something with my life instead of just putzing around. So I met Kim Ortloff, and she took me under her wing and trained me, and I passed my massage therapy boards and fell in love with the work that I'm doing now. And so it kind of incorporates all of that. And I like to have a little joke with some of my clients and say, you know, I did social work, personal training, and massage therapy, so I can beat you up, I can fix you up, and then we can talk about it.
That's so wrong.
But I always get a good chuckle, so, you know. It works.
Well, tell me about that. You were telling me a story before the mics got turned on about someone who was going through kind of rebuilding their health from a stroke.
Yes.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, we have a wonderful client who had a stroke about 4 or 5 years ago. And so his shoulders never really fully recovered from that, as you can imagine, just because, again, the neurological system is kind of trying to figure out what to do with that appendage. It's like, okay, we're going to have to really slow this down. So he's got a lot of weakness. He's got a lot of mobility issues and restrictions. And he had been working with a lovely lady, occupational therapy, and we couldn't just figure out what was going on and why he wasn't getting better despite all the stuff we were doing. Well, it came to my attention as we were working with him that, you know, a couple of his rib heads or, you know, things just kind of were a little off and shifty structural wise. So, you know, through the stretching and mobility work, we were able to kind of get that back in alignment on their own, which was really, really neat and really cool. Anytime you can get that to happen without having to do a chiropractic adjustment. And so after that, he was like, I'm in shock. This is the second time in the 4 or 5 years that I've been pain free. And so, you know, every now and then he'll get a little bit of a setback and get some pain. But, you know, through the mobility work and through the strength on top of that, we've been able to kind of keep it at bay and work to help him gain, you know, that part of his life back.
So, I love that. Yeah. I love that because you're building on something and it has a synergy to it.
Yep.
Between massage therapy and stretching and balance and mobility.
Exactly.
And working on all those things.
And, you know, he was doing massage with me for quite some time. And I said, you know, I really think that the stretching could be of benefit to you, you know, moving that fascial tissue and kind of seeing if there's something else, a different approach that your body responds to a little bit more. So it was a really, really cool, really awesome breakthrough with him.
I love it. So. I love it. Thank you for sharing that story with us. And I really encourage everyone to reach out to Jennifer. It's right in Midtown. Everybody can find it. You can find it online at stretchingyourlife.com. Jennifer, thanks for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks again for having me.
All right. For Tallahassee Business Spotlight, this is Miriam Dady.
Have you heard about tallyconnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. Tallyconnection.com. go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their tallyconnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. Tallyconnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Christian College and Training Center started in 1990. And its history has remained a remarkably diverse organization of teaching professionals and students with various interests. The curriculum alone is remarkable. The amount of information that is brought to bear on behalf of the students, those seeking ministry opportunities, those who are seeking academic degrees, they're all welcome. In its beginnings, the organization, you might say, had a more concentrated focus, and they went through a name change here a few years ago, so that now when you talk about the Tallahassee Christian College and Training Center, there's a reason. And so I've asked Joanne Arnett, who is a good friend of the show and a good friend of mine, to explain all this to us. So here she is. Joanne, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Brian. Glad to be here.
So tell me, the name change had a lot to do with what you saw happening as an organization. There were changes afoot, and you were trying to find a way to express that, I guess.
We needed a way to explain what we have been since 1990.
I see.
And that was a group of people at the college level and at the training level who believe that every follower of Jesus Christ is in full-time ministry, whether we know it or not, whether we're equipped or not. So our goal is to equip or help equip each person to be more effective, to let him work through us in the home, in the workplace, with business, things like Business by the Book and God and Government, within the community, and in service to congregations. So we do things like training people on how to teach Sunday school, how to better affect their prayer lives, how to preach and teach.
So it has implications for me professionally, but it can also apply to me personally.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Now, if you're called to the ordained ministry, we also can equip you for that. But because we are both a seminary and a Bible college and a training center.
And my understanding is that folks who come to you, not only as students, but those who are teachers, come from this amazingly diverse background. I mean, in terms of doctrinal issues,
exactly.
And even their social background, ethnicity, and race. I mean, you folks are really a melting pot.
We are. Yeah. Someone once said that they thought the amount of unity that goes on, the unity amid diversity, was one of the most important things about the college. The same is true at the teaching level, because not only are the students from over 400 congregations, so are our faculty.
Yeah.
They have in common that they are all followers of Jesus Christ, and they are all focused on Scripture. And with that background, they love each other. They study things like theology together, biblical counseling, all kinds of things.
But I know, too,
languages.
I know, too, that if I'm not mistaken, there have been a number of ways in which the college has embraced other faith communities.
We have.
Particularly your relationship with the local Jewish community.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I know that you've had opportunity there to kind of open your hands And once again, there's been this unity amidst the diversity. What a refreshing thought in these times when we are hearing about so much division in the country. I suspect that it's organizations like yours that maybe are less celebrated, but they're really the fabric. They're really the connecting points for all of us as a society. I think you guys represent the very best we could hope for. When you think of the heart of this organization, that goes all the way back now, 1990.
It does.
That's, what, 20-plus years ago, almost 30 years ago. So were you involved right there at the beginning?
I was a co-founder and now president of the college.
Wow.
And the training center, which
and
we
consider... And
you haven't
aged a bit. What is
I
that?
I know.
You look just the same.
I cling to that scripture that the Lord will renew our youth as the eagles.
I mean, well, you look even brighter and fresher and something's going on.
Just keep talking,
Brian. It can't
be just
the skin cream. No, there's something... You're eating all your veggies too, aren't you? I can
tell.
There
you go.
Uh-huh. When you think about the growth in all those many years and the people, I mean, it's not been an easy walk. And I can tell you, folks, I've known this young lady for some time. There have been some tearful times when you're banging your head on the wall and thinking, man, that job at Sears is looking really good right now. Why am I doing this, you know? And yet you have persisted. And all of you who have worked along with you have persisted. How do you explain that?
Because I believe so strongly that the Church of Jesus Christ is made up of all those who love Him and follow Him. And because I want, in love, for people to be exposed. And so, you know, I have a sign on my desk that says, my boss is a Jewish carpenter. We have unbelievers who are quite welcome to come. Mm. Let's see what the scripture has to say, not what we're afraid it says, not what we hope it says. And truthfully, my tears have not been over disunity because we have had an amazing amount of unity, largely through the prayers of those who work together, who are also quite cross-denominational, on the staff and on the teaching faculty. They've largely been because I had no background as a business person. So it has only been that end that has been difficult for me.
So in that way, is it fair to say the college is not in the business of recruiting? It's not in this business of converting. It really is educational
at
its core.
Exactly.
Yeah, academic.
To my knowledge, no student has come and changed their congregation. They're just quite welcome to come. We honor who they are. We honor what they believe. We honor where they're coming from. Right. There is no pushing.
What do you think Tallahassee needs most when you think of how we move among one another, with one another, among the various groups that we're a part of? How does this college fit in terms of making contribution? And if you're doing that, what do you think is the biggest need we have as a community? I know that's a tough one.
I think individually we need to know who we are. For me, that's who I am in Jesus and not who I wish I was or thought I was or hoped I was. And to honor each other and let each other proceed at their pace and to offer what we have to offer to each other. Mm-hmm. Tallahassee Christian College and Training Center is such a place. You can take as little as one seminar, sit in on something you don't know anything about, or get a bachelor's or master's degree, or take the first couple years of an MDiv. So
when those folks who come to you for that academic training complete their course of studies, right? So they are degreed.
Right.
What do you see them doing? Are they going on to other institutions and teaching, or
they're doing
what's the
all sorts of things.
Really?
We have now people who are in missions on five continents.
Wow.
We have those who are in the business community. We have many who are in state government. almost all are active in their community and active in their own congregations. And we have people who have just come and walked away with a different person, a different picture, I'm sorry. Mm. I had a person who came from Central America who visited one seminar, wrote me afterward and said, I will never see the body of Christ in the same way. Mm. So people expand their horizons.
Different point of view.
And it's just exciting to watch us grow together.
She is the president of Tallahassee Christian College and Training Center. Joanne Arnett, our guest this morning, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Joanne Arnett, a longtime friend of this community, has worked faithfully right from the very beginning, all the way back in 1990, in the creation of this little gem, this thing called Tallahassee Christian College and Training Center. In the course of their work over these many years, I would dare say, hundreds,
thousands
have come through your doors.
Thousands.
And have gone on to other places in the world.
Yes.
And have looked back and recognized the contribution that you made in their lives.
Yes.
And now they're carrying that out in the lives of others. It's a remarkable testimony.
They have found the thing for which they're created individually and have found a way to be equipped to fulfill their lives.
Mm. In fact, when I think of this community, I think of Tallahassee. Among its many noted characteristics, it certainly is a center for education, is it not?
Yes.
With three major educational institutions. And here is Tallahassee Community, Tallahassee Christian College, standing in there toe-to-toe. When I look at the caliber of the people who are bringing the training and the people who you have on faculty, it's formidable. What attracts these folks? How did they find you, and why do they get so, I guess, passionate about what they're doing, do you think?
First off, I came from an academic background. Mm. I came to Tallahassee with the State Department of Education, worked on many accreditation committees and so forth.
Yeah.
So Darlene Heinrich and I came with a high standard of excellence in terms of academics. But we also knew that you can limit your learning to the intellectual, and that you learn at a deeper level when you also allow the spiritual and physical and emotional to be involved. When we began, we interviewed all but two pastors in this community and asked them to see whether they saw such a need, and to ask for the names of the most outstanding teachers within their denominations. Mm. We began there. And we have teachers who come to teach the thing they know and they love. They may or may not be a pastor. In many cases, they are not.
Mm.
We also spoke with the heads of the religion departments of the existing universities, who said, we need a place in Tallahassee where people are free to share their faith. Hmm. And the instructors are not free always to share their faith in a state institution.
Mm-hmm.
So we fill an unusual niche in that we fill that gap between the Sunday school hour and the person who's called to go to seminary. most of us fit in that place.
Some, yeah.
Where we're trying to follow the Lord in our daily life, in our homes, in our communities, and we want to do it well. We want to do it in a loving way. We just began. And so I think teachers of good caliber want to fit into that situation. Most come and teach the one course every other year that they are best equipped for.
In the 26, 27 years, what's been the most difficult part of your job?
I had no business background, so that part has been difficult for me. I've had a lot to learn, rely heavily on an excellent board, which is also cross-denominational, cross-cultural, in every way you can name. The most amazing thing to me has been the unity that exists within the people who come who really want to know the truth.
When you try to share with somebody who doesn't know what you do, what do they want to know?
That's one of the hardest things I do.
Yeah.
Because we are so broad and is the basis for our name change, Tallahassee Christian College and Training Center, because we consider the training portion, whether one takes a little or a lot, just as important as the college portion.
And when you reach out to folks in that capacity, I mean, they don't know you, they don't know what the college does. You ever get any pushback? People say, nah, we're not interested in that.
Some exhibit great interest. Others just sort of look at me as though, well, that's nice. That's nice.
They're polite.
They're polite.
Mm-hmm.
But most are interested and kind and see it as fairly unique.
And the folks that I'm talking to about the college clearly are from up and down. I mean, they're all over the map in terms
of
their educational background. Some are high school graduates that have never done any kind of college training, and here they are, one of your students.
Some have not been past third grade.
Wow.
And audit a course with outstanding teachers. Some are PhDs who know their own area well but don't know scripture.
Wow.
And we have everything in between. We had an 11-year-old who aced Greek because he wasn't afraid of Greek. And then we had an 82-year-old who got her diploma. She had always wanted a college degree and had never had one. When you talk about variety, just come visit. You'll see it.
I know that you're involved in a lot of community-wide activities. You have various programs, and you personally as well as the college. You'll have guest speakers from time to time. Some of these folks are formidable. I mean, you've brought to Tallahassee some people who have world-class status.
Exactly.
Guest speakers and teachers and such. How do you find those folks?
I often wonder. The Lord seems to just find them. They love it. They love what we're doing. They see it as unique. You see, there are a lot of places where you can study Scripture. They are denominationally based. People come from other denominations, and so they call them cross-denominational. But ours truly is from the beginning on an equal basis. We are not based by any one particular background.
So and, there isn't another church
or
a
denomination
that you're an adjunct or anything like that?
And I think I was too naive to realize that this couldn't work. Everyone told us that it couldn't work, it wouldn't work. It's worked well, and we find when there's a sticking point, and there are very few, by the way, our teachers will say, these are the major interpretations of that, that particular scripture, and go on. It is so important that we love each other and that we be able to see that.
Yeah.
I grew up in a family. My father was a county judge, and so we sat at the dinner table and did that. We discussed issues, and then we would take the other side of those same issues. We learned so much from each other.
How cool is that?
And we need desperately to be able to listen to each other and also to study so that we know where we're coming from and to base our lives on solid ground.
From your mouth to the ears of us all, and for our nation, I think we need to be listening better to one another. Joanne Arnett, our guest this morning, the president and faithful, devoted representative of Tallahassee Christian College and Training Center here in Tallahassee. You can find him online at tcctc.org. Simple enough. I know that they have all kinds of neat stuff that you'd want to check it out. tcctc.org is the website. Joanne, thanks for making it.
Oh, thank you, Brian.
For us
being with
you
is a pleasure.
Absolutely. Folks, stay with me. We've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I've got a message for the women in the audience. Valentine's Day is almost here, and you're still looking at the top 10 ways to put romance in your relationship? Come on, put down the magazine and listen to me. You really want to know what he wants. A diamond plate toolbox. Yeah. Or a spray-in bed liner with a lifetime warranty. You talk about hot. How about a high-tech, full-scale, truck-busting audio system? And it's all in one easy place. Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. They have all the toys you're going to need. Grill guards and brush guards, window tinting, plus keyless entry systems and security systems. Whew, okay, I got to stop. But trust me, Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive will make it happen. If you can't make up your mind, all you got to do is slip that little gift certificate into the palm of his hand. You can thank me later. Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive, across from Kraft Nissan. You're going to love it.
Call 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are back again with more, the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, and wanting you to make sure to make note of lots of activities coming your way in the weeks ahead. You can find a lot of these for you, for yourself, at tallyconnection.com. Well, these are great people. This is all brought to you by the FSU Credit Union. And it's a community calendar. And all you have to do is click on events, and then you go to the community calendar. See, even I can do this. Wow. And then you have in front of you all of those activities that might be of interest to you and your family. Isn't that cool? And it's all laid out there so neatly. So let's look around here. I mean, now tomorrow, let's see. Tomorrow is Sunday, right? So on the 10th, you've got things like the, I beg your pardon. Tomorrow's the 12th, right? Sorry. I knew that. I don't even know what day it is. It's been a long week, folks, I'm going to tell you. Here's what I was looking for. Personal training for participation in research postmenopausal women needed at FSU. Well, I know of several that could participate in this study. That would be great. Free personal training for participation in research postmenopausal women needed at FSU. Perfect. That apparently is happening tomorrow. Okay. So if you're postmenopausal, then you would be a candidate. And I can even give you a bit more detail. This is saying that they're looking for postmenopausal women between the ages of 55 to 75 years of age to participate in their study, investigating the effects of leg strengthening exercises on the cardiovascular system. Oh, well, that's cool. Currently, there's an underwhelming amount of research in vascular health and resistance training in women. And they want to fix that. So they want to bolster the data to help health professionals prescribe proper exercise protocols. See, you could be contributing to the welfare of others while you're getting your own training, your own strength training, free. Pretty cool, huh? See, and this is all coming by way of Tally Connection, this neat little calendar. Thank you very much. All right, so if you're not postmenopausal, then you might be interested in Grass to Glass Academy. Now, again, this is happening tomorrow. Apparently, it happens every second Sunday. So you get to learn about beer styles and ingredients and the process of brewing in a fun and relaxing environment. And we can give you a little more background on this whole deal. Grass to Glass Academy. Where is this? This is going to be at the Grasslands Brewing Company down there on Gaines Street. Cost you $30. Huh. And I would have to imagine there might be some tasting going on with that. So it says here, learn more about beer styles. Carl, you want to make note of this? This is good for you. Learn more about beer styles, ingredients, and the process of brewing in a fun and relaxing environment, because the more you know, the better the beer tastes. I don't know. I know pretty much everything there is to know about beer, and it all tastes the same to me. So maybe I'm just not paying attention. Is that the problem? What do you think? Carl's not answering that question. Are you listening, Carl? I'm trying to make sense of this. Help me here. All right, never mind. Now, this is saying that this is not for the faint of palate. Ever wanted to taste those really out there beers? I don't know what that might be. Let's talk about the frontier of beer and the strange choices that turn out to be tasty things. Yeah, they're not being too specific about that. So apparently that is to be discovered. Doing my best here for you, folks. Activities and events going on all about the Tallahassee area. Well, closer to home, we'll say back here at the Moose Magnificat Studios in Tallahassee, we've had the pleasure of entertaining you with local musicians. It's the business of Moose Magnificat to share with you local musicians playing their original songs. So if you've not been able to taste of that brew, you owe it to yourself. You listen online is what you do. Go to moosemagnificat.com and click the listen button. You can do this on your phone, your laptop, your any kind of mobile device, anywhere you can have access to the internet. You can listen to Moose Magnificat 24/7, and we mix in there some conversations that we've had with some of our locals, people like Drew Tillman and Del Suggs and the New 76ers. So that's all cool, isn't it? And you get to hear a fair amount of those songs throughout the day, and some of those folks, too, that you may not know very well, and we try to call them out of the woodwork. We try to bring them forward. So we bring to you as many as we are presented with. We do some of that work ourselves, just to kind of get back into the nooks and crannies and find some of these folks that are remarkable musicians but have just not been very well represented. So that's Moose Magnificat. And then comes our magazine, Tallahassee Family Magazine, right in there, bringing you the stories of the real people who make this town a really cool place to live and work and play. So if you've not noticed, you can pick up a copy of Tallahassee Family Magazine, various newsstands around the community. You can go online to TallahasseeFamilyMagazine.com. The entire magazine is there, fully blown, so you can read through the articles that way. And you can subscribe if you would like to have us deliver the magazine straight to your doorstep. You can request that. You just click on subscribe, and then you fill in the blanks with your information, and we will make sure that the magazine is delivered at your request. There is a slight fee, a small charge for postage, but beyond that, it is a free publication just for your enjoyment and your amusement. It's a fine little pub. Dave Barfield is the creative genius behind all of that, along with some very remarkable writers and our editors, Carl and Sarah. They just did such a fabulous job. So there you go. Well, it's coming up to that time in the show when we're going to take a moment and get to talk with Tim Linnefelt. He's got a update on FSU men's basketball, the Linnefelt Sports Report coming your way. Don't forget, too, that if you've missed any episode of the show and you'd like to listen in at a later time, you can do so. Go to our website, TallahasseeTalks.com. Download the show that you've missed, or you can listen to it right there. You can subscribe to the podcast, too. You can email us at topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. And don't forget that we're simulcast every Saturday, both on Moose Magnificat and 93.3 FM here in Tallahassee. And then there's a replay of the show Saturday nights at 9:30 on Moose, and again on Wednesday at 5:30, and that again on moosemagnificat.com. All right, I think that's all the news for now. We will continue with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny right after this.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Well, once again, boys and girls, we have the very lovely, the very enjoyable, the astutely observant, the well-spoken Tim Linnefelt with an edition of the Linnefelt Sports Report. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well after that delightful intro. I don't think I've ever been called so many nice things.
Well, I save them up for you so that way people think more highly of you than they should. You've got a lot to talk about today with FSU men's basketball. Women's basketball, too, because mm-hmm. they're doing just fine. So I'll leave it to you. But I have to say, looking at Mr. Ojo and some of these other amazing players, it's Mr. Hamilton must be in feeling like he's in hog heaven.
Yeah, he might be. Yeah, that's a good place to start, especially given that the men's basketball team has a big game tonight at Notre Dame, which is a ranked opponent mm-hmm. on the road. Another chance for Florida State to get
really
kind of a marquee win. Not that now they have plenty of them already, but certainly mm-hmm. a chance for another one. And yeah, it's it really is remarkable. I don't know. I think the last time we talked, they were getting ready to embark on a run of six straight games against six ranked opponents, and we were sort of saying, you know, that's going to make or break this season. And turns out it made it in a big way. They went 5-1 in that stretch, and since then have kind of kept on rolling. And the most interesting aspect to me is that after they went through that stretch of six games, they went on the road to Georgia Tech and to Syracuse, and they lost both games. Yeah. And they didn't look particularly impressive in either one.
Right.
So now you're sitting here saying, well, you know,
what happened?
Will the real team stand up? What's going on here? What happened? Well, since then, they've reeled off double-digit victories at Miami, at home against Clemson and against North Carolina State. Now, none of those teams are to the same level of a Notre Dame or a North Carolina or a Virginia. But they're strong, solid teams, especially Miami, who it looks like is probably going to end up making the NCAA tournament. And Florida State is just demolishing these teams. Yeah. And so the fact that they've been able to go through a bit of a difficult stretch and come out on the other side and continue to show that they can play the way they did back in January when we first started to realize that this had the potential to be a special season.
Yeah, they seem to have a strong affection for each other.
They really do.
They really
do.
Well together. Yeah,
yeah, and you know, it's funny you mentioned that because I think most most teams will tell you that they have good chemistry. Almost everything. No.
You don't
teams,
see any ball hogs.
Right, man. Right. They're never going to come out and be like, well, you know, we really don't like each other. Right. But you can tell by the way that they play. Watch, you know, if you go to a game, watch the bench for a little bit and watch how engaged they are and watch the way they celebrate when somebody else makes something happen. You know, Jonathan Isaac, the freshman forward who is just, you know, a fantastic, perhaps maybe the most talented player that just in terms of sheer talent, most talented player they've ever had. Certainly the most talented player they've had in a very long time. He was asked last night, you know, they score over 100 points against Clemson on Sunday. You were there.
Yep.
And you know how many points Jonathan Isaac, who was the best player on the team, you know how many points he had?
Remarkably.
Two.
Two
he
points.
Had two. Now think about that. Think about that. And so then last night against, Wednesday night, against North Carolina State, he was fantastic. Scored FSU's first 7 points of the game, had 21 overall, and I think 7 rebounds to go along with it. And afterward, he was asked, you know, was tonight maybe a result of you trying to push and be a little bit more aggressive after a game that, in the words were, that wasn't so fun for you on Sunday? Yeah. And he caught on that phrase, and he said, no, the game was fun for me on Sunday. I didn't score a lot, but it was a lot of fun watching my teammates play well and a lot of fun watching them do things.
There you go.
And so, you know, and look, it's really easy to have that attitude when you're beating everybody by 25 or 50 points. But what you do have, and I know it kind of sounds like coach speak, but in a way it's true, is they're all kind of bought into the proper mentality.
Right.
And as a
and
result,
back to your point, were that mentality not there, then those number of losses would be telltale, because you would come away from that thinking, okay, this is just not so fun after all. But they've overcome that. And I think that says this is where we started. We started with this mentality. And the outcome has been, yes, we've won some games.
Right. And you know, what you don't want, and you see this especially in basketball, the team can be winning, but if a guy's not getting his, he's not happy. Well, that doesn't seem to be an issue here.
Yeah. It happened watching Wednesday night. Ojo was standing at the free throw line, and instead of taking the shot, he passes it back to the player standing next to him. I forget who the player was.
Yeah, I think I remember that sequence.
And everybody laughed about that.
Yeah.
And even the guys calling the game said, take the shot, man. And I thought, that's a guy who refuses to be selfish. Mm-hmm. You know, he, in his head, no, my play here is to pass the ball.
Yeah.
And he had a clear shot to the basket.
Yeah. I think he was a little further than the free throw line, if I remember. But I was on the other end of the floor, so I could be wrong on that. But no, you're right.
Well, he was at the top of the key. I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's kind of, you know, the idea of big Michael Ojo shooting from distance. I think everybody was kind of fired. But again, these are all the things you can have a lot of fun with when you're winning the games to the degree that they are. But to your point, the fact that, you know, look, sometimes when you're beating people the way that Florida State has in the last couple weeks, it can almost have, I don't want to say a negative effect, because there's nothing bad about beating people by 25, but you can lose your sharpness, or you can lose your focus, or you can lose your attention to detail when you're up by so much. And it might not hurt you in that game, but it can hurt you your next time out. And you haven't really seen that with this group. Like you said, guys, even up by 20 points midway through the second half, they're still sticking to their assignments and what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and they're and I've noticed that too, that their shooting from the free throw line has improved. I think they were down around 60% this last couple of games. They've improved considerably. I mean, like 80-90% of their free throw shots. Is that a matter of attitude, or is it that they just work? It's more a matter of them
in terms of free throws.
Yeah,
it's just repetition,
muscle
memory.
The time.
Yeah, you know, you want to do the idea of just sort of being automatic with it, and your muscles and your bones automatically go where they're supposed to, and you know, free throw shooting, and a lot of times this season has sort of been, if there's been an area of concern, it's been that one. And it wasn't always pretty against NC State, but they also had some games that the first Notre Dame game comes to mind, where they made some really, really big free throws to put games away. So we'll see. That's definitely somewhere, you know,
that's tonight.
Yeah, yep. That's right. And when you'll play them again in South Bend. So maybe it'll come up again.
So we'll be watching tonight, FSU men's basketball playing Notre Dame. You know what time the game starts?
I think it's 6, I think.
6 o'clock. Yeah, I think so. Look for it online, folks. You're going to enjoy it. FSU men's basketball, they're hot to trot right now. And we have Tim Linnefelt, who's one of the hottest sports personalities around, and bringing us this edition of the Linnefelt Sports Report. Thank you, my friend. Glad to have you with me.
You got it.
Folks, stay tuned. We got more Tallahassee Talks coming up right after this.
Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's the Merry Maid's way of keeping your home or office at its best. And it's what we have come to expect here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our studios and offices always shine because Merry Maid's makes the difference, like they do for hundreds of offices and homes in Tallahassee. They'll do just the same, just for you. And they're right here, giving back to our community and giving you extra benefits, like saving you up to $400 on your first cleaning by giving you extra service, and saving an extra 10% when you mention Tallahassee Talks. Their website makes it really easy for you, too. You can schedule a cleaning and make a payment with just a few clicks, any day, anytime, day or night, when it's convenient for you. Call Merry Maid's this week, 850-386-2205. That's 386-2205. Or find them online at merrymaids.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
He is the newly elected state representative for District 8. Happens to be the son of Lorenzo and Cherry Alexander, a fifth generation product of Florida. Serving the People's House, he has come to this opportunity with a great deal of accomplishment, and I'm looking over several things that we'll talk about. But let's welcome Ramon Alexander to our show. How are you, sir?
It's great to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
I was trying to get to that part where I could just say hi, but you have so much good stuff here on this curriculum vitae. I mean, there's kind of clarity about this when I look through your history, starting back there in, I guess, back in 02. Well, no, even further than that. You were the student body president at FAMU High School, and then went on to serve Curtis Richardson as a legislative aide there, right?
Correct.
You were an intern there till 04. I mean, this just goes on and on. And then student body president at FAM. You helped organize this historic march for justice for Martin Lee Anderson. Now you find yourself carrying water, as we say, for the people of District 8 here in Florida. How's it going so far?
Well, I'm humbled by the opportunity, and something I take very seriously. I am not your political junkie. I'm more into, you know, grassroots organizing and community.
Seems like that.
Community-based development. I've invested my whole life into mentorship and providing services for young people so that they can define their own destinies. And
I noticed that, too. This thing called Distinguished Young Gentleman of America, DYG. Tell us about DYG.
It's something I founded with two other gentlemen right out of college. Uh-huh. A young man was killed in a boot camp by the name of Martin Lee Anderson when I was student body president at FAMU. And because of my interactions in the community, I see generational cycle after generational cycle of poverty, generational cycle after generational cycle of broken homes. And so we're sick and tired of pontification, and we came together and put our resources together and created a very thoughtful and strong, measurable program that provides weekly wraparound services to primarily single-parent home minority males, to help them academically, help them emotionally, help them from a standpoint of their day-to-day activities and lives as they matriculate throughout life.
What does that look like from a day-to-day standpoint? What is DYG offering?
So our program model is a peer-to-peer engagement model, but we also incorporate
kind of a mentoring thing?
Right. But the substance behind it, we have monthly leadership workshops, student development workshops. They can range all the way from financial literacy to health and wellness to just day-to-day functions, professional development. We do ACT and SAT prep for our students. We provide intensive tutoring during the summertime. We do college preparation, transition type activities and initiatives. The city of Tallahassee was awarded the All-American City Award in 2015,
right,
and they featured Distinguished Young Gentlemen as a main focal point of their application. And our students actually traveled to Denver, Colorado to represent the local community.
So the families of these young people, are they bearing the cost, or how does DYG provide its services? How
right. We raise money through the local church faith-based community. Mm-hmm. We receive funds through the United Way. We've also had long-standing relationships with Florida A&M University, Tallahassee Community College, and partnered with Florida State University on a myriad of different projects and endeavors, Tallahassee Police Department in that regard. And we have built this thing from a grassroots standpoint, and it's a sustainable entity that is currently serving 163 young men within the region on a weekly basis.
Wow, and it's been around a while. You started this after you finished?
Right out of college. We started our actual full-blown measurable curriculum in 2009, but we began to engage in this in 2006, 2007.
Wow. Do you hope to bring some of that insight into how we do things publicly?
It is so important that we understand that our role as decision makers in the state is that we are looking out for the holistic best interest of taxpayers' dollars.
I see.
That's one. I believe that there are unique vantage points from the standpoint of bringing value. When you incorporate the private sector, the faith-based community, and you bring people to the table of understanding so that we can work and strategize together. The problem that we have is that there's so much parochialism in regards to engagement and interaction.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, there's so many silos, meaning that if we have this methodology and approach, the government wants to do it this way, the faith-based community wants to do it this way, the private sector wants to do it this way, but together we're stronger. And so what I've been able to do is bring stakeholders to the table to understand, regardless of what vantage point that you have, that if we leverage our resources, we stop duplicating services, and we began to work together, there are a myriad of things that we can do to improve the quality of life of people.
So from your standpoint, that's government at its best. That's when we're doing the best job we can.
Right. Government has a role, but government is not the end-all, be-all. Government has a functionality, but the faith-based community has a role. The private sector has a role. We all have a role.
Right.
And I think when we have a holistic strategic focus on how we go about approaching that,
right,
and the driving force is not based off of mid-level bureaucracy, or it's not based off of some type of ideology, but it's centered around how do we address a need? How do we deal with the most vulnerable communities that are continuing to deal with so many challenges that our communities face? We're only as strong as our weakest link. And so I've devoted my life to being a voice for those who don't have a voice. I've devoted my entire life to fighting for people who have lost the fight and have lost hope in many respects. And those are the type of conversations that when you bring people to the table of understanding, you know, we may not agree on every single issue, but if we believe that, you know, issues like mass incarceration, we start talking about generational cycles of poverty. We start talking about national security. We start talking about quality education and how we provide those opportunities for young people, regardless of where they live or whatever their background may be. I think you can start to get some fundamental truth and really bring people to the table towards a common goal and not a specific agenda.
And the people who are participating with you in this organization, are they still in touch with you as you begin to move forward in your role as a representative, so you're able to get feedback from them directly?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You cannot teach what you do not know, and you cannot lead where you do not go. And so it's so important that you are engaged. The most important thing we can do for our community, and I tell this to elected officials or individuals that have extensive platforms, is to provide consistent interaction. And there is a disconnect with many of our decision makers, whether on the state level, on the national level, that just don't get it. They live in a totally different world. And until you see firsthand the fact that a young man's father's in prison, grandfather's in prison, the mother's facing substance abuse issues, and they want to try to make a way out of no way, but they don't have a way. I'll give you a classic example. We took our students up to Washington, D.C. 3 years ago. We went last year as well. Took them to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and we were in Atlanta. We take them all the way through the Northeast. We're actually taking our kids to Brooklyn, New York this year in May. And we were in the Atlanta Mall, the Lenox Mall, and our kids, they saw Jamie Foxx in the mall. And one of my boys walks up to me. He's now in 12th grade in Gadsden County. And he said, Mr. Rahman, thank you so much. And I said, what are you talking about? Like, I'm in the food court eating my food. He said, sir, this may sound crazy to you, but I've never been anywhere past Thomasville, Georgia. I said, so you've never been to Walt Disney World? No, sir. He lives with his grandmother. And he only comes to Tallahassee for a doctor visits. That is so critical. And to give them that type of exposure, we can go through the Appalachian Mountains, stand where Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address, stand at the Lincoln Memorial, stand at the MLK Monument. It is significant. Yeah. And it brings things full circle. And many of our decision makers in the state, whether it's from a bureaucratic standpoint or from a corporate standpoint or even from a faith-based standpoint, there's a major disconnect. And like I said before, you cannot teach what you do not know, and you cannot lead where you do not go. And that was the whole premise behind me running in the first place. I'm not your typical person. I don't seek the attention. My personal motto is no lights, no cameras, just action. I believe in working from the bottom up and from the ground up and building out relationships, bringing people to the table so that they can learn, they can grow, they can evolve to make a difference in our community.
He is the newly elected state representative for District 8, and our guest this morning, Rahman Alexander. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Rahman Alexander about his personal history and how that has impacted his role now as state representative for District 8 here, doing the business of the people. Talk about how your parents have influenced your life.
Well, I will tell you this. My parents, my father was a short order cook and sold watermelon off the back of a truck to matriculate through Florida University. And my mother was one of 11 siblings, and she had to work her way through college. And they were committed to breaking the cycle. They were committed to going above and beyond and providing opportunity, not just from a standpoint of a monetary standpoint, but providing opportunity to bring value. Both of my parents, public servants. My father was the Cub Scout leader. He was the Boy Scout leader. I had one experience where I got really, really mad at my father, because we would have our Cub Scout meetings on Monday night, and I was a really big WWF wrestling fan. And we would get out of our Cub Scout meetings, and he would take the church van and drop off all the other young men that were in my age group. And I would, where are their parents? Where are their dads? Well, I didn't realize that out of all the kids that were in that van, I was the only kid who had their father in their life. And so although my father wasn't good at basketball, he coached the basketball team in elementary school. And so my parents have been very involved from that standpoint and been very grateful. But they've taught my brother, and I have an older brother, about the true spirit of public service. And service is all about making a sacrifice. And it's been something infectious. My mother's commitment to the community, it comes from a genuine and pure place. We seek no fame. We seek no glory. And for me, I felt that I had a responsibility to my community. I had a responsibility to my classmates. I always wanted to attend a school where thought I could make the biggest impact and speak up for people, whether that was on a high school level or whether on a college level. And they've played a critical role in that development about values, about perspective, being humble and respecting other people's opinions, and being able to agree to disagree, but doing it in a dignified manner. My parents exude that. They're both retired state employees, and they have given me a perspective holistically where I can relate to a cross-section of individuals, which I think is really giving me the opportunity to be a voice and look at things from a very unique and thoughtful perspective over the next 2 years as a member of the Florida Legislature.
As a person who has lived this life, why would you want to get involved in politics? I mean,
you've got to be crazy.
I mean, it
is a crazy
process. With all due
process.
Respect for the institution itself.
Yes. It took a long, hard, thoughtful conversation internally, my relationship with God, with my wife, to come to this point. You don't have to be in elected office to make a difference.
Yeah.
What bothers me is that a lot of folks seek elected office to create a platform. I believe that you should already have a platform to validate and grow your platform.
I see.
And I think the...
So then your political role is really...
rooted based off your own prior experience and relationships. It's not...
And you're bringing that to the table.
You see so many elected officials or individuals in these type of roles that they're running around like chickens with their head cut off. There's no substance. There's no depth. They are caught up in the game, the game with the lobbyists. They're caught up in the game of how to post the most pictures I can on social media. I'm here. It's just self... gratification type process. And so that can be troubling to me. However, I do recognize and I do see elected office as one vehicle to effectuate change and make a difference. And so I said to myself that I have an obligation in my role to raise the standard, that you don't have to pander to mediocrity, that you don't have to compromise your integrity, that you can do things that you believe, and it can come from the heart. It can come from the spirit. When you speak with great conviction. We did a workshop with our students this weekend, some of our distinguished young gentlemen at Florida A&M University. And the workshop was centered around visual communication. Pretty much, if you can visualize, you can actualize. If you can actualize, you can realize to maximize how great you can be. And so trying to help people be able to visualize the story, visualize the struggle, visualize the challenges that we face, and be able to speak truth to power. Well, that comes from a very organic place. And if you don't come from those type of interactions, if you don't have those life experiences, like I say, a lot of folks come from a different world. You have the slightest idea how to be empowered to navigate through that process. And I will tell you this, to caveat that, it's a very... challenging process. Bring value and be consistent, be transparent, and do it in a way where you're not self-promoting yourself, but you do it in a selfless way, and you deal with issues that are pertinent to people. Sometimes it's not what you do, but it's how you do what you do. Sometimes it's not what you say, but it's how you say what you say that determines the outcome of the situation. And so in my role, I recognize that I am a strong Democrat in the Florida legislature, but I also recognize that we operate in a very dominant, controlled Republican legislature at this time. And so my role and my background in juvenile justice issues and criminal justice issues, there is an interest in bipartisanship in regards to some of those issues.
You know, we talked with Michelle Raywinkle Vasalinda quite often on this show, and she pointed out that Speaker Corcoran has been espousing an idea that has more often been associated with that the Democrat Party.
Absolutely.
In which he's saying, look, rather than providing tax incentives at broad level, what some have called corporate welfare, let's take that money and invest it in our communities so that we have people who are more employable. We have a culture here that is more supportive. Let that be the attracting agent. You agree with that?
Yeah, I think there's a balancing effect in how you go about doing that. I think the premise of that is accurate. I believe that when you look at investing in workforce development training, you look at breaking down the system, and I personally believe that the system is designed for our future to fail from an educational standpoint, from a criminal justice standpoint. My role in the type of bills that I'm sponsoring, the type of things I'm advocating for, it brings people to the table in regards to how do we have a conversation in regards to mass incarceration. We look at our juveniles with civil citations going into the system, recidivism rates. There is a high level of interest from both sides of the aisle in regards to thoughtful, fruitful conversations and action evolving around those issues.
Wow.
And so because of my background and working in that arena, I've been able to insert myself and work with leadership on both sides of the aisle to provide some context and perspective. So, no, we're not going to agree on every issue, but let's find a way where we can agree to work together. But if you are way out in right field and I'm way out in left field, you know, my grandfather tells me this all the time. And he says, you know, son, if you're riding down the street and you're riding down the road and you go too far to the left, you end up in the gutter. If you're riding down the road and you go too far to the right, you end up in the gutter. And you end up with what? Gutter politics. And we have too much gutter politics on the national level, on the state level, and we need thoughtful, reasonable people that are able to humble themselves. You know, we need less ego, we need more we go. All these egos and, you know, my agenda over your agenda, leveraging this person to do this person, to do this over this person. I'm not interested in that. I don't have a big appetite for politics. I care about people.
Wow.
And so when I can have a substantive, well-thought-out conversation on policies and laws that will have an impact on the next generation to come, that's why I ran for the Florida House of Representatives. That's the commitment that I have over the next 2 years as a member of the Florida House of Representatives. And that's the type of leadership that we need as we move forward. Responsible, thoughtful, and sincere leadership.
Our guest this morning, Ramon Alexander, House Representative for District 8. And a good friend of Florida, sounds like to me. My friend, it's good to having you with us this morning.
Well, thank you, Brian. It was great to be here. I look forward to coming back.
Folks, that's what we have for you today. We're the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. We'll be looking for you again next Saturday right here. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me. Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.